Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom he died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. In this message, I want to trace the origins and the effect and the historical record of this OSAS, or better known as Eternal Security. What happened? What is the fruit of this doctrine? What does it lead to? What happened to the first man and woman when they were told and believed the eternal security lie in the Garden of Eden? What did the eternal security lie that Satan told Adam and Eve lead to? Well, we all know it led to their fall. It led to them being emboldened to sin, because after all, you shall not surely die. You will recall it in Genesis 2:17, God told the man that if he ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he would surely die. And Satan came back and told the woman that you shall not surely die. So Satan has been perverting the Word of God since the first man and woman were upon the earth. And he added to, in this case, one three-letter word, which led to the fall of mankind. He added the word not. God said, you shall surely die. Satan said, you shall not surely die. And that's the origins of the once saved, always saved, or better known as eternal security doctrine. To his own, Jesus said, if a man abide, that means remain or continue, not in me. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. In other words, he's disconnected from the vine, whom Jesus earlier in this chapter, John 15, told us that he was. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. And in verse 6, Jesus says, if a man abide not in me, if he doesn't continue not in him, in other words, he's talking to his own. That's the whole context there. In fact, the Bible is written to the people of God specifically. And in this particular passage, Jesus is specifically talking to his own. If a man, that would be one who's already in him, abide not in me, in other words, he does not remain in me after being saved, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. You know, when you break a branch off a tree or a bush or any plant, it's going to wither because it's disconnected from the source from which it receives the nutrients absolutely essential to staying alive and being vibrant and full of life. So it's going to wither. A person who is in Christ and does not remain in Christ is going to wither. They're going to run on empty and run out of divine virtue like the five foolish virgins, and they will not endure to the end and be saved. You know, the Bible teaches initial and final salvation. Doesn't matter if people want to acknowledge it or not. Many do not want to acknowledge it because they don't want anything to do with the idea of personal accountability and responsibility before the Lord for their every thought, word, and deed. Okay, John 15:6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. That could mean only one thing, that anyone in Christ now who does not continue in Christ is going to be cast into the fires of eternal damnation. Okay, so what is the fruit of this OSAS doctrine? Well, we see that it caused the fall of the man and the woman. They ate of the fruit of the knowledge of a tree of the knowledge of good and evil when God told them not to. And it was because Satan told them that it was going to be okay, even if they ate of the tree and disobeyed God. Well, we all know they were immediately ushered out of God's presence when they sinned, because God is holy, holy, holy. Now, the people that teach once saved, always saved are never going to acknowledge the fact that God is holy, holy, holy. That's part of his nature. That's not just an attribute. That's part of his nature. And it's the only thing about God in the Bible, in his word, that's mentioned in triplicate, not only once, but twice, Isaiah 6:3 and Revelation 4:8. So testifying concerning his walk with the Lord as another example of the fruit of once saved, always saved, and how he was initially misled by his then pastors. My good friend Brian Ivey writes this. He says, I was saved in my home church at the age of 12. I knew then God had been speaking in my heart and went down the aisle and said the prayer, repented and received Christ. My life was clearly changed as I had been born again. Then after being saved, Brian says, I was immediately told by those same pastors that I was, quote, once saved, always saved, unquote. He continues, I believed this, and though knowing I had been saved, I went right out and continued living in a sinful lifestyle. Since I was, quote unquote, once saved, always saved, I reasoned, why should I change my ways? I mean, why bother? And he continues, well, being a brand new believer in Christ, I took these leaders and their teaching literally. Following this, I grew older and then was faced with many temptations, and I followed those temptations and did not resist them, thinking I was, quote, once saved, always saved. Brian continues, he says, while living in sin, I knew full well I was in the wrong. I remembered what I was told, once saved, always saved, and continued believing this for about 7 years. Then I went to a friend's church one night, and the leader was talking about salvation and that once saved, always saved was a lie from the devil. Amen. Brian continues, at the hearing of this truth, my heart was convicted again of my sins, and I repented afresh and went through a discipleship program on how to walk with God. Since then, I have often wondered how many people have been led astray to believe in once saved, always saved, who really think that they are eternally secure no matter what they do or how they live. This is very disturbing, Brian says. I was headed for destruction and didn't even know it, but God intervened and saved me and rescued me again. My prayer is that people will have the chance to know the whole truth about salvation before it's too late. Unquote from Brian Ivey. So was Brian offered biblically blessed assurance or blessed as a presumption? Well, the answer to that's pretty obvious. Brian was told that God loved him, yet there was no hint to what the Lord required of him as to walk humbly with thy God and to, for example, to be ye holy as I am holy, 1 Peter 1:15 and 16. Brian was never told these things. Brother Brian was never told that Jesus required him to take up his cross, to deny self, take up his cross and follow Christ every day. Brian was never told that the Lord wanted him to choose to love God with all of his heart, mind, and strength, Matthew 22. Amen. Was this new believer or babe in Christ, Brian, led to believe he could presume upon and take advantage of God's grace? Yes, and we know what Paul said about that in Romans chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. The apostle says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound, that saving grace? In other words, God forbid, he answers it, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So was Brian told about denying the self-life and lifting up Jesus in all things, fearing God, the essential of personal holiness, living his life by faith,
the danger of falling away, trusting and fully obeying the Lord in all things that he commanded, etc.? No. Brian wasn't told that. Brian was instead told that he was once saved, always saved, as we just read his testimony. Was Brian instructed to, quote, desire the sincere milk of the word, to grow as a believer, and that God's word is final authority and to be studied and obeyed by every disciple? No, he was not told that. Was this new believer, Brian, informed about nurturing intimacy in his new relationship with Jesus? Was there any hint of personal responsibility and accountability communicated to this new saint in order to help him to walk at peace with the Lord? No. Brian was given man's blessing, a presumption upon the grace of Christ, a license to sin, just like Jude warned us that ungodly men would turn the grace of our God into lasciviousness or a license to sin, Jude verse 4. Brian is like millions today who have been lied to by their very leaders, those who pose as Christ's representatives while subverting his truth and blaspheming him by doing so. He was told to believe something the Bible never teaches, like so many others, an unconditional eternal security. Jesus never taught, nobody in the Bible other than Satan taught, an unconditional eternal security. That's an irrefutable fact. So of the deluded leaders, religious leaders of his day, this is interesting. The prophet Ezekiel says this, Ezekiel 13:22. You'll want to get to know this verse for sure. He says, because with lies, notice with lies, he's talking to the false leaders, you have made part of righteous sad, whom I have not made sad, and strengthened the hands of the wicked, that he should not return from his wicked way, by promising him life. There it is, unquote. So they promise life to those that are living in sin, and strengthen their hands in that sin instead of calling them to repent. And by these lies, they've made the heart of the righteous sad, because those that are righteous are departing from evil because God is holy, 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 and they live to please him. So in summation, Ezekiel the prophet here in Ezekiel 13:22 cites the false leaders of his day for doing two evil things. Number one, with lies, quote, you have made the heart of the righteous sad. Okay. The truth, the Bible says, love rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. So the righteous remnant of Christ are not happy and joyful, but rather sad and not rejoicing at lies. Number two thing here that Ezekiel cites the false teachers as doing, they strengthen the hands of the wicked. They told them they were okay living in sin, that he should not return from his wicked way by promising him life. So there's a contrast between the false leaders of our day and the true. The false leaders do not call the wicked to repent. They might not be those who are verbally, overtly telling them that it's okay if they live in sin. But with lies like once saved, always saved, and eternal security, as we read Brian's testimony and also with Adam and Eve, it causes the fear of the Lord to be robbed out of their hearts, out of the people's hearts who are told this and who believe it. And so naturally they succumb to and give way to temptation. The Holy Spirit reveals here that the heart of the righteous remnant is made sad by the false teachers with lies. With these lies, they strengthen the position of those that claim to be Christ but are unrepentant and living in sin. True leaders and under shepherds of the Lord teach like Paul did in 2 Corinthians 7:1. He said, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That It's very self-evident, those words in 2 Corinthians 7:1. The word repent and repentance appears 72 times in God's word. That's repent and repentance. So those who teach unconditional eternal security lie against the truth. And the Bible says, lie not against the truth in James 3:14. They are bearing false witness, and the law of God, of Exodus 20, the Decalogue, says, thou shalt not bear false witness. So they're bearing false witness against the Lord, because the Lord never gave anyone such a promise that they're unconditionally eternally secure. He holds them personally responsible to choose him, not only initially, but to continue to choose him. Jesus said, and this is what he says to each of us, and you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Those who truly serve the Lord will be persecuted. Then he says, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. He's specifically speaking to his own disciples. And he says, you're going to be hated, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. If there weren't any possibility of not enduring to the end, Jesus sure did waste a lot of breath and sure did mislead a lot of people, which I'm not going to say he did. But everyone who teaches this unconditional eternal security, better known as once saved, always saved, or eternal security, is absolutely indicting the Lord, who said also that you can fall away after believing. Luke 8:13. These people are liars. They're bearing witness against the Lord. Only a deceiver would give hope to a Christian or somebody who had been saved who is living in sin. Paul said, God forbid that we continue in sin. Grace will not abound. That means you will not be saved, because you can only be saved by grace through faith. That's Romans 6:1-2 again. It doesn't matter if one believes he is a deceiver or not. If the word of God reveals that we are teaching falsehood, such is an obvious fact. They're deceiving and being deceived. 2 Timothy 3:7. Notice Malachi 2:17. The prophet says, ye have wearied the Lord with your words, yet ye say, wherein or how have we wearied him? How have we wearied the Lord? That's the same thing the once saved, always saved people would say. When you say, and he answers, the prophet says, when you say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord. They condone wicked doers. They tell people that are living in sin that it's okay. See, we're beginning to see this as a pattern throughout Scripture. We saw it when Ezekiel 13:22 cites the false prophets for promising life, eternal life, to those who are wicked and living in sin after being saved. So Malachi 2:17, let me read it again, the whole verse. Ye have wearied the Lord, he tells the false teachers, with your words. Yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? What do you mean? How have we wearied the Lord? Right? And the prophet says, when ye say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord. They condone people in sin instead of calling them to repent. And he delighteth in them. Or where is the God of judgment? So they claim that the Lord still delights. They give all of these promises to people without giving the conditions. And the conditions are to repent initially, put your faith in Christ, and walk with the resurrected, nail-scarred, risen Savior to the end of your life, enduring to the end, abiding, remaining in him on his terms and no other. Malachi 2:17. That is, how had God's people wearied the Lord, we should ask after we read this verse, as we just did. And it's when they said that everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord. They're good with God. They're still going to heaven. And he delighteth, God delights in them. So did you catch that? The Lord said that it wearied him when people that were sinning, people that are supposed to be his, were told to be good. They were told that they were good. Everything's good in the sight of God with them. And also said that he, the Lord, delighted in them. God is holy and unchanging and does not see sinning people as good or delightful, regardless of whether or not that person served the Lord in the past. The word instructs, quote, "The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." That's 2 Timothy 2:19. Also, Proverbs 17:15 says, "He that justifieth the wicked, and he that condemneth the just, even they both are abomination to the Lord." See, those that justify the wicked, they tell them they're okay. It's Proverbs 17:15. They are what? An abomination to the Lord. And on this topic, as we come in for a landing here, a sister named Anita says this. She says, "I just want to say I'm very blessed with you speaking out against that once saved, always saved doctrine." She says, "Somebody has to stand up to it. You have been ordained for this very day and age, so don't give up. I believe those who preach that doctrine may mean well, some of them, but there is not one scripture that says that we can profess Christ and go back out into sin. No matter how hard," she writes, "they try to interpret the scriptures, it just does not say that. I was a part of a church that preached that false doctrine," she says, "but it's leading people astray. It leads people to believe, quote, I'm once saved, always saved. And that means I can do anything I want. And it's even it's leaving people worse off than what they were before coming to the Lord," she says. Anita says this, she says, "I have a very dear close relative who was under that preaching for a long time, and he, of course, left the church and returned to sin and addictions. All he knows is, quote, I'm saved by grace, and he's really messed up now," she says. "That false doctrine makes people think that they have a license to sin and that it's okay. In fact, that very same pastor who taught that doctrine adamantly preached it so much that now his son, who was raised in a Baptist church, is going out into a homosexual, sodomite relationship in life. And of course, he has been taught, quote, I'm saved by grace, so I can do whatever I want, unquote. Well, I know one thing is for sure. No homosexual is going to enter into the pearly gates of heaven." She writes, "I believe had the pastor taught about our need to turn from our sins, not just professing Christ and going back into sin, things would have been much different for those people," that is, her relative and the pastor's son. And Anita continues, she closes with, "I truly believe it, the pastor is to be blamed as well as those who hear his heresy, just as Adam and Eve were accountable when Satan first told this lie in the book of Genesis in the Garden of Eden. I do know that teaching I'm saved by grace, I'm going to be sealed forever so I can do whatever I want," unquote, has a lot to do with it. It's a horrible teaching. It's a stumbling block for the blind, and it comes straight from the pit of hell. Glory be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. Sister Anita. So why do the eternal securitists get all upset when their fairy tale is exposed? Well, they are hiding behind a thin veneer of this heresy, feeling all secure and emboldened to live as they please, feeling assured in their lukewarmness and sin, denying Jesus instead of self, refusing to take up the cross that Jesus commanded all who would follow him to do. Luke 9:23-24. Christ's apostle Paul speaks of self-serving, quote, enemies of the cross of Christ in Philippians 3. So what is behind this myth? Well, what's behind it is a refusal, a rebellion, and a refusal to truly repent, to lay down their lives and follow Jesus in an abiding, cross-bearing relationship on his stated terms. Now, I want to call your attention to some of this that we reviewed and spoke about in this message, including Brian Ivey's testimony is in our book called Lie of the Ages. Lie of the Ages. I believe it's the only book on the planet with that name. And you can find it on Amazon, or you can also find it on Safeguard Your Soul, the store page. And we are blessed to have spent these moments together. Remember, saints, Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sins, those who try to hide their sins, shall not prosper. But whosoever, that is, confesses and forsakes them, notice, shall have mercy. So only those who forsake, repent, confess their sins, and forsake those sins. Cut off the hand, pluck out the eye that causes you to offend, Jesus taught, lest your whole body be cast into hell, where the worm dieth not. In other words, you will always be conscious. Worm means your consciousness. And the fire is never quenched. End of Mark chapter 9. God bless you, friends, and I want to encourage you to avail yourself to the many resources to help you grow and be edified in Christ and grow in His grace on safeguardyoursoul.com. Please share with somebody else. And remember, we have a podcast, Safeguard Your Soul, with no spaces. You can look it up on Google Podcasts, Spotify, or Apple. God bless you.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, Scripture-rich, edifying podcast on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture rich and Christ centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month. And your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site. And you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so. And a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together, in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.